Hello, dear friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine on this Monday, May 18th. We're glad you've joined us again, and we trust that you had a good weekend, that your hearts were encouraged by hearing the Word of God, by fellowship on Zoom or maybe some other means, or maybe your church is already opened. So we're glad that we can gather again today in this manner and study God's Word. Open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 2, and let's read there, starting with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast or holding forth the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can gather and study your word together. Thank you that we can hold it in our hands and read it. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to your truth today, that we will be changed by the power of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at this passage, and we could summarize it by this. Produce, Christian, produce. In verse 13, he tells us that God is at work in us. He's the one who helps us to do what verse 12 says. Work out your own salvation. Produce the reality of that inward life of God in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. We saw the command there in verse 12, and we are viewing incentives to obey that command. The first one is indeed that God is at work in verse 13. The next one, verses 14 and 15, we have a testimony to uphold. And in verse 16, we offer a life-giving word. Praise God for the life-giving power of the Scriptures, of the gospel. In a darkened world, we need to hold forth the light that is the Word of God, and that light produces life. Well, here's a new incentive here. We have a godly heritage, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, holding fast, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. The apostle Paul had labored so abundantly for the Philippians. He had taught them. He had evangelized in their midst, and God used him in a mighty way. They had a wonderful, a godly heritage. And Paul goes on to say in verse 17, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering. There may be some idea here of Paul anticipating his death as a martyr. At least some writers think that. But it certainly has the picture of a liquid offering being poured out. And so Paul is comparing his life to that liquid offering. And he says, if I am being poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith. So if the Philippians are the sacrifice on the altar, Paul is adding to it the liquid offering being poured out. It's a picture of being spent for them. And notice the sacrifice and service of your faith. The Philippians had served Paul. We'll see in chapter 4 that they had given to him. They had blessed him and encouraged him, helped supply his needs. They had served him sacrificially. So their faith produced service and produced sacrifice. And Paul says, if I am being poured out, he says, I rejoice in this. What a godly heritage they had with the service of the Apostle Paul. I want you to think for a moment, as I think, on those who have given to us spiritual service, who have poured out their lives to minister to us, to serve us. You know, I can go back and remember pastors that I had as a boy and as a teenager, and I thank God for them. I remember Pastor Whiteman, who baptized me. I remember Pastor Gottschalk, who introduced the Bible Memory Association to our church and encouraged Bible memorization. And Pastor Larry had such a profound impact on me as a teenager, discipling me into ministry and taking me with him on hospital visits. I will always be grateful for how these men poured their lives into their people, into their flock. I think of John Woodhouse, who was a dynamic evangelist, took me on an evangelistic trip into the Caribbean, to islands there. It was a life-changing trip as we held street meetings in the Virgin Islands and ministered there in a church in St. Thomas. And then we stopped in Puerto Rico. I will never forget those experiences. And I'm so thankful for these men of God who poured out of their life into my life sacrificially in serving me. Can you think of people just like that? But you know, it's not only the pastors and evangelists. I remember Sunday school teachers. There was a lady when I was in first grade. The only thing I could compare her hair to were the black pipes that had been placed along our street for the workers to come and install them. And they were, I guess they were water pipes, maybe they were gas pipes, but they were black sections of pipe, and her hair was in black curls like that. And as a little kid, that was the only thing I could compare to. Well, why am I remembering that today? Because that lady, her name was Miss Tiedrich. She gave me my first Bible, my first New Testament. And then I think of a dear woman of God named Virginia Haynes. She was a junior high teacher, and she came and motivated her students. She would call us on Saturday night to see if we had done our Sunday school lesson. And she offered, I think it was a quarter if you had completed the lesson. And in that day, a quarter meant something more than today even. So I thank God for them. And I thank God for a lady named Lenora Friday. And she gave us a little object lesson, a little card on it, and it said, do not yield, use your shield. The shield of faith, the spiritual armor. She had an impact on us. And I thank God for these. And there was a sweet couple when I was in junior high, Carl and Darlene Treach. And oh, they poured out their lives on us teenagers. And recently, I reconnected with them. What a blessing. And found out that Darlene still had me on her prayer list, even though we haven't been in touch in decades. That was a tremendous blessing. And Carl, who spent a day with me listening to messages and studying the Word of God when I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old. Thank God for the heritage that we have of people who have poured out their lives for others. May we thank God for them and appreciate them. Maybe with the technology today, you can reconnect with some of those who have been a blessing to you. The Philippians were so blessed by this godly heritage. What a motivation to work out your salvation because of those who were poured out as sacrificial offerings on our faith. So Paul says, if this is my privilege to die as a martyr, it is my privilege to serve you now. He said, I'm glad, I rejoice, and you rejoice together with me for this wonderful partnership that we share together in working out our salvation. In verse 18, there is a fifth incentive here to produce a life of obedience. He says, "For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice together with me." We have a common joy. There is a wonderful joy in serving the Lord. There's a great old hymn that says, "There is joy in serving Jesus." That is true. There is joy in serving Jesus. Are you downcast today? Look how you can serve someone else. Look how you can encourage someone else in Christ. Look how you can rejoice, first of all, in the Lord, and then minister to someone else. It will do you a world of good. Indeed, there's joy in serving Jesus. So here are incentives to produce a life of obedience. God is at work in us. We have a testimony to uphold. We offer a life-giving word. We have a godly heritage. And we share a common joy with those who are serving the Lord in our behalf and for us. So may we rejoice in the Lord. May we be obedient. May others see that this thing called Christianity, it is real. It is genuine. It makes a difference in our lives. And Jesus is alive today. Let's live out the reality of the life of Christ within us. And let's do it with joy, not grudgingly, not with murmuring and disputing, but with joy and gladness. Well, I want to go to prayer today to three countries. And because of the way our weeks and the calendar is, these three we've not had before. For the 18th day of the month, we have Burma or Myanmar. It is number 23 on the persecution list. We have Nepal, also in Asia, and we have Pakistan. Pakistan is number 14 on this persecution ranking. You may have heard in the last couple years of a dear lady named Asiya Bibi. Praise God, she was released from prison in Pakistan. She still needs our prayer. The last I heard, though, there was another Christian in the cell in jail in Pakistan, the same cell where Asiya Bibi was. So let's pray for believers in Burma, in Nepal, and in Pakistan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to give just a little bit of our time. And Lord, it's so insignificant, but thank you that we can give some time to praying for your children in these difficult places. We pray, Lord, that their faith will be strong. We pray for Christians in Burma and Nepal and Pakistan. I pray, Lord, for missionaries who are there, national believers, that they will stand strong in Christ. I pray that you will multiply gospel literature in these countries. Send it from within, send it from without, that Bibles, New Testaments, gospel portions would be present there, and that there would be great fruit, that many would come to know Christ in these places. We pray, Lord, that your name will be exalted there, that the church will be strengthened. And may we learn from the example of those who have served and have suffered for their service for Christ. We lift up Asiya Bibi. We lift up the dear sister that's in the cell where she was. We pray, Lord, that the gospel will triumph in these lands. And Lord, we ask for an end to this coronavirus, but we ask most of all that your name will be glorified, your people will be revived, that lost people will turn to Jesus and be saved. Bless your word as it goes forth, we ask, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you so much for joining us on Bible Sunshine. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow and that God's love, light, and life will shine upon you this day. God bless you.